幸福源于聆听，亲爱的奉献者们，大家早上好。今天是2020年6月24日，星期三。我们再次荣幸的邀请到了 Radha Chiran Prabhu 为我们继续讲解《永恒的启发念经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita。Hare Krishna。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda。
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare。 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare。
Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare。 Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 HareHare, Hare.
Reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service.
今天我们继续来阅读《永恒的启发念经》Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥的第22章，奉爱服务的程序。
Broadcasting from Sri Mayapur Dham this morning.
今天早上是在 Sri Ma, 在那个 Mayapur 圣地向大家直播。
And we continue with the conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Sri Sanatan Goswami.
我们呢现在继续来讲 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 和 Sanatan Goswami 之间的对话。
Those teachings are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu investing his knowledge and investing his potency within his pure devotee.
在这里面我们看到就是 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu就是把他的知识以及他的力量注入到了纯粹的奉献者心中。
And so much knowledge is being shared.
在这里分享了很多的知识。
Because it takes a lot of knowledge and it takes a lot of energy to extract someone from the material platform to be situated on the spiritual platform.
因为如果要让一个人从一个物质的层面上摆脱出来而上升到灵性的层面是需要有大量的知识和能量作为依托的。
And because the conditioned soul has been in the material atmosphere for so long, it seems that devotional service is something which is not natural.
因为受条件限制的灵魂置身于这个物质世界已经太久了。深陷在其中，所以说呢，对他们来说，要进入奉爱服务似乎不是一件非常自然的事。
And therefore, it takes a lot of patience and it takes endurance to apply all the different aspects of bhakti to finally come to the platform of pure devotion.
所以说呢，要通过 bhakti 奉爱服务的方方面面。的进化，然后达到真正的 bhakti 奉爱的这个层面的话呢，都是需要有非常多的这个等待的。
So this is the function of the avatar. This is Krishna coming to the material world to give his own teachings to help the conditioned souls.
所以呢 ，Krishna 就是通过他的这些诸多的 avatar 这些化身来到这个物质世界。来帮助受条件限制的灵魂。
In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says he comes for three purposes.
在不加赞歌中 ，Krishna 说到他降临到这个世界上有三个目的。
One is to be with his devotees.
第一个就是和他的奉献者在一起。
And to protect them.
去保护他们。
One is to rectify all the materialistic minded people.
然后呢第二点呢就是去纠正那些物欲熏心的人。
And the other is to establish a process which will help people to become purified.
还有一个就是建立起一套程序 这套程序呢，可以帮助在这个物质世界的人得到净化。
But out of the three, the main purpose for Krishna to come is to be with his devotees.
但是呢，在这三个原因当中，其中最重要的还是 Krishna 来到这个世界上，是为了和他的奉献者在一起。
And Prabhupada explains that Krishna is much more eager to be with his devotee than the devotee eager to be with him.
那施拉帕拉帕呢他就说就是 Krishna 和他的奉献者在一起的这种迫切的心情要远远超过奉献者想跟 Krishna 在一起的。
So in this particular pastime of Lord Chaitanya, he goes to every possible extent to give information how the conditioned souls can come to the platform of bhakti,and how the devotee can progress in devotional service.
所以呢，就是在 Chaitanya Charitamrita 的这些逍遥时光里面呢，就是主 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他在这个不同的角度、不同的这个深度，就是告诉我们怎么样能够经过这个奉爱服务的这个程序，一步一步往上走，然后最后呢，达到纯粹的奉献服务。
In other words, the idea of cultivating bhakti is to go from the disease condition to a healthy condition.
那培养奉爱的这个程序就是从一种患病的状态到一种完全健康的状态。
And when someone is sick, it means that not everything functions properly. The mind, the body, the senses, the organs,
当一个人身患重病的时候呢，就说明他的这个身体的各个部分，粗糙的和精微的这个功能都是不正常的，包括他的这个躯体啊、感官啊、心意啊等等都不正常。
We see this with so many people being affected by this virus.
我们现在看到有很多人呢受到这个新冠病毒的影响。
The whole body shuts down.
那在他们染上了这种病的时候呢，整个身体的这个正常功能就给关闭了。
And it requires great attention from nurses and doctors to bring that person back to normal.
然后医生呢和护士就得非常用心的照料这样的病人，才能够让他恢复健康。
So it's the same in spiritual life.
所以在这个灵性的生活中也是一样的。
Materialistic people are in a disease condition.
灵修生活也是如此。一个物质主义的这个人，他其实就是在一种患病的状态。
And the process of bhakti yoga is the process which brings a diseased person to a healthy condition.
那 bhakti yoga 奉爱瑜伽的这个程序。就是让一个身患重病的人从这种疾患当中得到恢复到健康状态的一个过程。
And just like a diseased person cannot recover without the assistance of someone who is healthy and someone who has knowledge of medicine, in the same way a devotee cannot make spiritual progress without the assistance of devotees who are mature.
所以说呢，就好像是一个病人，他如果要恢复健康的话，他就必须要有一个人，这样的一个人是怎样的呢？就是他既有这种医药方面的又知道怎么样能够用各种这个医疗的方法给他来疗愈他。那么需要这样的人的帮助，那么同样的奉献者也是一样的。当我们身患物质的重疾的时候，我们也需要成熟的奉献者的帮助。
And if we look at the analogy of a diseased person, we don't just look at treating the symptoms, but also treating the disease itself.
然后呢，当我们给一个病人治病的时候，这个我们的关注力不是仅仅是在这个病人出现的一些病征上，还要把这个目标啊，这个焦点锁定在这个疾病本身。
And not only the disease itself, but also the improvements and what the person becomes as the result of taking good treatment.
不仅仅是在疾病本身，还要关注的就是病人恢复健康的这个进展的状况，就是他吃了什么药之后，他会有什么样的这种变化，他会成为什么样子。
And sometimes it requires major adjustments in life.
有的时候呢，需要这个病人要在这个时候在生活当中就要做出一些非常重大的这个习惯上的改变。
Or it requires that someone will have to become expert in balancing daily life and spiritual life.
那这样的人呢，他还需要就是知道怎么样去平衡一个就是物质的生活和我的要掌握这样的一个平衡。
For example, sometimes people recover from a major surgery and they decide to move to another place, to a healthy place, to change their life, to change their habits completely.
那有的时候呢，如果是一个病人的话，他可能还要离开原来的这个环境，搬居到一个更加健康的一个环境里面，然后在一个全新的环境里面进行调养。
And other people also need to make adjustments, not that drastic, but they need to adjust their daily lives.
那还有一些人呢，他可能不需要有做出这么大的一个变化，他不需要搬到一个新的地方去，但是他必须对他每天的这个生活进行一些调整。
And in any case,What is obviously always necessary is to stay close to devotees.
但是最重要的就是说，对于奉献者来说的话，就是出席的奉献者来说，现在最重要的就是要经常跟奉献者在一起。
This is the main emphasis behind all the teachings of Krishna consciousness. The emphasis is on always staying close to the devotee.
所以在这个 Krishna 知觉当中的一个重中之重就是说不管在任何一个阶段下都要尽量的和奉献者在一起联谊。
The example is given that if someone is trying to cross the ocean by holding onto the tail of a dog, one will not be very successful.
这里有一个比喻，就是如果一个人他要过河，但是他是抓着一个狗的尾巴想要去横渡这个河，那么这就可能最后呢就是肯定不行的，到不了对岸的。
So the idea here that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is presenting is as you are moving forward in the practice of devotional service, there has to be some obvious visible symptoms.
那在 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 在这里说的就是，当一个人在这个奉爱服务当中，比如说放在瑜伽当中他得到进步的时候，随着他的一点点进步，他一定也会表现出一些可见的征象。
In other words, we should be able to assess personally how we are changing gradually by practicing bhakti.
所以说呢，就是说我们在修习 bhakti 奉爱的时候，肯定是可以有一些标准可以进行自我评估的。
So, I would like to quote a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam.
现在我想引用 Srimad Bhagavatam 圣典博伽瓦坛中的一个诗节。
Which explains in a nutshell how we can assess the progress that we make in Krishna consciousness.
那这一段诗节呢，就是说是一个总结性的一段话，就是告诉我们在这个奉爱服务的过程当中 ，bhakti 奉爱的道路上面，我们怎么来进行自我评估
？bhakti pareshano bhavo vyaktir anyatra chaisatrika ekakala papadyamanasya yatasnatasyus tushti pushti kshud apayonugasham devotion direct experience of the supreme lord and detachment from other things these threeoccur simultaneously for one who has taken shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same way that pleasure, nourishment, and relief from hunger come simultaneously and increasingly with each bite for a person engaged in eating.
这段的话呢，就是说，当一个人脱离于至尊人格神手的时候，就会有三个表现，一个就是奉爱，一种是直接的体验到至尊主的存在，然后呢，第三个就是摆脱了其他的一切事物，就是弃绝其他的事物，除了至尊主之外的其他的事物。同样呢，如果当一个人吃东西的时候，也会有三个表现，一个就是快乐，第二个就是感觉到滋养，第三个呢，就是他这种饥饿感呢就被缓解了。这三者呢会同时的出现，而且呢，随着这个人一口一口的吃这个食物，这三种感觉就会越来越强烈。
So when we are hungry, it means that we have appetite.
就是如果一个人他有饥饿感的时候，说明他还是有胃口的。
And appetite is a healthy symptom.
而胃口，好胃口呢，实际上是一个说明你非常健康的一个特征。
So what happens when we eat and we are hungry, as we are chewing our food, we get instant satisfaction.
就是当我们饥饿的时候，当我们吃下了一些东西的时候，那么很快呢，就会感觉到非常的满足。
So this is the first step. When you put food into your mouth, obviously with the palate, you get enjoyment.
所以呢，这个是首先发生的一个特征，就是当你吃东西的时候，你的舌头一接触到食物的时候，你马上就会有一种快感，一种满足感。
And that food obviously does not stay in your mouth, it goes within the system, and therefore you get nourishment.
当然了，这个食物也不会一直停留在这个你的口中，你咀嚼之后吞咽下去，这个食物就进入了你的身体的各个部分。
And the result of nourishment of the body is that your hunger is satisfied.
那么这个身体呢，就是得到了这个来自于食物的各方面的这个滋养，然后这个时候呢，这种缓解了。
Now this is a very interesting example because you could use that verse and turn it around to what happened to materialistic people.
那这里非常的有意思，你也可以同样的去参照这个师姐，去看一看一个物质主义者他的变化。
So for example, a non-devotee will feel hunger.
比如说一个非奉献者，他会有一种饥饿感。
And they will eat junk food.
就是当他肚子饿的时候呢，他就吃一些垃圾食品。
Junk food means full of chemicals, full of preservative, full of sugar, full of fat.
那垃圾食品指的就是糖啊，脂肪啊。含量非常高的，然后这种食物经常有各种化学的添加剂、保鲜剂什么的。
When they put that kind of food in their mouth, they get an instant satisfaction.
那当他们把这样的食物放在口中的时候，他立刻就会有一种满足、兴奋感。
But they won't get any nourishment at all.
但是呢，不同的就是他得不到滋养，没有真正的营养。
Not only that.But the body will be poisoned.
而且不仅如此，他的这个身体呢，等于就好像被毒素侵入了一样。
And they may feel some relief from hunger, but very shortly after they'll be hungry again because there was actually no nourishment from that food. So they want to eat more.
那么当他吃了这种垃圾食品之后，他的饥饿感就会得到缓解了，他会有一种满足，但是过不了多久呢，他又会感觉到饥饿，还想吃一些东西，为什么呢？因为他吃下去的这个食物并没有给他的身体真正的滋养，是没有营养的，所以说呢，他并不能感到真正的满足。
And ultimately, they die from all sorts of food-related diseases.
然后呢，久而久之，他们就会患上一些因为饮食不当而来的疾病。
So this shows that.To be healthy spiritually, we have to be able to follow the rules of devotional service nicely.
所以呢，这个就说明，如果我们想在灵性上获得这个健康的话，我们就要非常好的去遵循有关于灵性生活的各种规范原则的指导。
So no one knows better the condition of a materialistic person and the condition of someone who is progressing in spiritual life than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
那没有比 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 更了解一个受条件限制的灵魂在物质的这种束缚中的状况，也没有像 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 这样的人更了解一个人在物质世界里面慢慢的进步的时候的这些种种的阶段。
So Lord Chaitanya, who is himself none different than Krishna, but also acting as a top, pure Vaishnava, he knows exactly what symptoms are going to manifest when a devotee practices bhakti and comes to the pure platform of the devotional service.
所以说呢，这个 Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 他不仅是至尊人格守神本人，他也是一位代表，在这里是代表着一位纯粹的 Vaishnava 奉献者，一位灵性导师，所以他是非常的知道一个受条件限制的一个灵魂，他在不断的bhakti 的修习过程当中，在进步的过程当中，他所表现出来的各个阶段的特征，也知道他是怎么样能够循序渐进的达到纯粹的 bhakti 奉爱服务的。
So last week we read the list of the 26 qualities of a devotee.
那么上周呢，我们就读到了。一个奉献者表现出来的26项品质。
But we did not discuss them, so we're going to do that today.
那上一周呢，我们就是简单的过了一遍，那但是我们并没有详尽的讨论。这一周呢，我们来一一的分析。
So the first one is merciful.
第一条呢，就是仁慈。
To be merciful means that a devotee doesn't have, one's own interest at first. Always look at the interest of others.
那就是一个仁慈的人，他一定不是把自我的这个利益放在第一位的，他关注的总是别人的益处。
Then there is humility.
然后接下来的这一条呢，就是谦卑。
Humility means that we never think that we are better than others.
谦卑就是意味着永远不会觉得自己高于别人。
Without humility, it's not possible to progress in spiritual life, and definitely not possible to chant Hare Krishna.
如果没有谦卑的话，一个人肯定在这个奉爱服务当中是寸步难行的，而且也没有办法去念诵主的圣名。
Truthful.
真诚。
Truthful means that we have integrity as an individual.
这真诚意味着这是一个非常正直的人。
Means accepting our own condition and not running away from it.
就是接受自己的这种局限，不逃避。
And of course, truthful means always telling the truth, being honest.
当然，真诚这里还有一个含义，就是很明显的，就是指的是说真话。这个人非常的直。
Equal to all.
就是平等待人。
Equal to all means that one has a spiritual vision that all living entities, not just human beings, not just devotees, but devotees, non-devotees, and all living entities are on the same spiritual platform.
这个指的是对众生一视同仁，不仅仅是对人是这样看的。他是在因为这样的人他已经有了一种灵性的这种视野，所以在他的眼中，无论是人，就是无论是奉献者呀，非奉献者呀，所有的生物体啊，在这个世界上的各种各样的这种生物都是平等的。
Now I want to remind everyone that these qualities are foundin a devotee who is on the pure platform of devotional service.
当然我也想提醒大家，我在这里所说的这些品质呢，指的是纯粹的奉献者身上表现出的品质。
And therefore we should aspire to cultivate those qualities.
所以我们就要有这样的一种愿望去培养这些好品质。
Faultless.
这个 faultless 的意思呢， 就是没有谬误的。
Yeah, faultless.
对。
Faultless means you never make any mistakes.
就是这个人他从来不犯错。
Not only that, but you don't find fault in anyone else, and you have no fault of yourself.
就是这样的人，他不仅仅自己的身上是没有什么没有表现出来什么错误缺陷的，而且他也不在人家的身上挑毛病。
Magnanimous.
这是宽宏大量的。
Magnanimous means that a devotee has the presence of a devotee attracts people to Krishna.
就是这样的一个人呢，他就是身性宽厚，当他出现的时候，自然而然就吸引了所有的人。
And such a devotee very easily gives Krishna to others.
然后这样的一个人对他来说，要把 Krishna 知觉给予别人，就很容易了。
Mild
就是温和。
Means that a devotee has a controlled mind and a controlled senses.
就是这样的一个奉献者，他一定是能够很好的驾驭自己的感官和心意的，就是他能够有这种。自制
clean
洁净
cleanliness is a very relative term on the material platform.
那从这个物质的意义上来说的话，洁净它是一个非常有这个相对性的一个概念。
What one person thinks is clean may be very dirty for another person.
就一个人觉得已经很干净了，另外一个人可能觉得还很脏。
But clean means that everything is perfectly clean on the outside, not just around us, but our own body, and also clean on the inside, which means the body, the mind, and the senses are also clean.
那我们在这里说的这个洁净就是绝对的洁净啊，不光是你周围的这个环境是洁净的，还有呢，你的身体是洁净的，还有进一步来说的话，就是你的。内在的是洁净的，也就是说，你的躯体、你的感官和心意呢，都是纯净的。
Akinchana means without material possessions.
Akinchana 就是没有物质拥有。
So, not having material possessions doesn't mean that we live under a tree.
在这里说到没有物质拥有，并不是说你就是真的是物质上一无所有，就只能是住在一棵大树下。
Because due to our previous karma and pious activities, a devotee can be very wealthy.
因为一个奉献者也可能因为他过往的业报还有前程活动，在这一世的时候是非常的富有的。
But such a devotee will never consider such a wealth to be his own.
但是呢，一个奉献者他绝对不会有这样的一种所有的物质都是为他所有就是他没有这种。占据所有的这些财富的感觉。
But we'll use that wealth entirely to serve Krishna.
但是他相反就是会拿他的这些财富去服务于 Krishna.
Some devotees are poor.
有的奉献者是很贫穷的。
But they are very wealthy spiritually.
但是呢，灵性上却是非常的富有。
Some devotees just get by financially and materially.
有一些奉献者在物质上啊，还有在经济上呢，也就是勉强维持。
But still they are wealthy spiritually.
但是呢，他们在灵性上却非常的富有。
And some devotees are very financially comfortable.
有些奉献者在经济上是很宽裕的。
But they are not attached to such a wealth.
但是呢，他们却可以不依附于自己的财富。
Because in any case, Krishna can give and Krishna can take at any time.
因为无论如何 ，Krishna 他可以随时给予你财富，但是他也可以随时带走所有的财富。
Therefore, not having material possessions means not being attached to material objects.
所以呢，在这里说到了，就是无物质拥有呢，就实际上指的是一种心态，就是你不依附于。物质的事物。
So obviously, when we are not attached to material possessions, we can easily perform welfare work for everyone.
所以说呢，如果一个人他不依附于物质的拥有的话，那很自然的，他就可以 造福他人，就可以去从事一些慈善或者是福利的工作。
Sometimes we hear that very wealthy people give a generous donation for charity.
有的时候我们也可以我们听说有一些富人他们给了一大批的这个善款，一大笔善款。
But the reality is that when such people give a generous donation in charity, it's only because they have huge wealth behind it.
但有的时候呢，其实他们看似是捐了一大笔钱，其实是说明他们还有更多的这个财富。
So if we have 1 million RMB in the bank, and people think that we are generous when we give 100 RMB, that's not performing welfare work for everyone.
就是说，如果说你在这个你的银行里面有这个100万，但是你捐的时候才捐了这么100块钱的话，那么好像是捐了这个钱，但是实际上呢，根本就是谈不上是什么捐款的，因为只是占了你非常小的一部分。
So when a devotee performs welfare work for everyone, means everything is engaged to help others to come to Krishna consciousness.
所以说呢，如果是在这里指的就是奉献者，他为他人谋福祉，为他人做这个就是慈善的这个活动。这里的这个慈善呢，指的是一个奉献者倾其所有去帮助其他的人在 Krishna 知觉上面得到进步。
A devotee is peaceful.
然后在这里说到一个奉献者是非常平和的。
How can a devotee be peaceful?
一个奉献者怎么能够做到平和的？
When one understands one's position as Krishna's servant, one becomes peaceful.
就是当一个人他能够认知到自己就是 Krishna 的一个永恒的仆人的时候，他在这一点上一旦笃定了之后，他就非常的平和了。
Anxiety means that we are not solidly grounded in our spiritual identity.
这个焦虑呢，其原因就是因为我们还没有真正的坚持于我们的灵性身份之中。
So we become peaceful within our heart when we have no doubt about our position as eternal servant of Krishna.
对于自己真实的身份，也就是 Krishna 永恒的仆人，这一点心无疑惑的时候，内心就非常的笃定平和了。
Surrendered to Krishna.
向 Krishna 皈依。
So this is another symptom of being peaceful, is that we know that we have no other object of love but Krishna.
所以这个其实也是一种平和，就是在这个时候呢，我全然的皈依于 Krishna， 就意味着你知道，就是除了 Krishna 之外，没有其他任何的你的全心去爱的对象了。
And because Krishna is the source of everything, the devotee is desireless.
因为呢 ，Krishna 他是万物之源，万缘之源，所以一个奉献者呢，就是无欲无求。
So this is different from the Buddhist concept where the goal is to stop having desires altogether.
那这个佛教人士他们所讲的这种无欲无求跟我们的概念是不一样的。他们就是要断除一切的欲望，一切的愿望。
To be desireless means not to have material desires, but to have spiritual desires is very encouraged.
但是我们所说的这种无欲无求是不一样的。我们指的这种无欲无求呢，就是说要去除这个物质的世俗的这种愿望，但是呢，这种灵性的这种愿望是要大力鼓励的。
The devotee is indifferent to material acquisitions.
就是一个奉献者，他对于物质的获得呢是无动于衷的，这也是一个特征。
In other words,Some devotees really try very, very hard to accumulate wealth, but it does not work.
这就说明说有一些人呢，他可能是费尽了心机想要去积累物质财富呢，但是总是以失败告终。
So we shouldn't try hard if it is not meant to be.
所以说，如果说我们本来就是 得不到这么多物质的这个财富的，那就不要为此太处心积虑了，就不要太辛苦了。
And some other devotees, without making much effort, material acquisitions come their way.
但是呢，还有一些人就是他是不费吹灰之力的，他就可以轻而易举的得到很多的财富。
But we have to learn to be indifferent whether we have material acquisitions or we don't have material acquisition. We develop the quality that what is most important is to be fixed in devotional service.
所以说呢，对于我们奉献者来说，无论呢我们拥有很多世俗的这些财富，还是说我们没有什么物质上的这个获得，好像一贫如洗，我们都是默然置之，无动于衷，而我们是把我们的这个心要完全的专注在奉爱服务之中。
We see this quite often in India. India actually has some very, very wealthy people.
在印度我们就可以看到这样的一种现象，在印度呢有很多富豪。
And they have huge material acquisitions.
他们拥有大笔大笔的物质财富。
But every morning, they rise early, they chant Hare Krishna, they worship Krishna, they bow down to Krishna, and they offer everything to Krishna.
但是呢，这样的富豪，他们也是每天早上很早就起来，然后呢念诵圣名，念诵 mantra， 然后呢，向主做供奉，向主做顶拜，他们把他们的一切的这个拥有都奉献给了 Krishna。
So the priority for them is not to accumulate wealth, but to accumulate spiritual qualities.
所以对他们来说，最重要的就不再就是说去争取这个物质的财富了。物质的这种富裕了，而是说去培养这个灵性上的品格。
And on the other hand, we see, especially in China, how people accumulate things in their own homes because of insecurity.
那在中国呢，我们现在看到的现象就是，很多人呢，他们费尽心机的去积攒一些物质的财富，究其原因是因为内心中没有安全感。
They buy things even though they don't need them.
有的时候是买一些实际上并不需要的东西。
They have so many clothes, so many shoes, so many stuff they buy online, which they actually don't need.
有些人就沉溺于这个网购，在网上买很多的衣服、很多的鞋子什么的，但实际上呢是并不需要的。
So they need to fill up their life with material things because internally there is emptiness.
所以说呢，他们就会用各种各样的物质的东西来填满他们的这种生活，是因为从内心来深处来说的话，他们是非常的空虚的。所以在这样的一种空乏之中，他们需要物质的东西来填充。
So spiritual life is about priority.
所以说呢，什么叫做灵性的生活，灵修的生活，就是你要摆正这个最重要的事情是什么。
Everything else is secondary.
其他的这些事物都是次要的。
The devotee completely controls the six bad qualities.
就是一个奉献者呢，他可以很好的这个驾驭六种坏品质。
Lust, anger, greed, and so forth.
就是这个色欲啊、愤怒啊、贪婪等等。
So controlling these bad qualities means that we are making space for serving Krishna because it's not possible to serve Krishna by cultivating these qualities.
就是在这里说到这种驾驭或者控制、遏制这六种坏的品质呢，是因为这六种坏的品质它是不利于为 Krishna 做这个奉献服务的。所以如果说能够很好的遏制他们的话，那么一个奉献者呢就可以顺利的把所有的这个精力来为 Krishna 做奉献服务了。
Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that he should stay very, very far away from these bad qualities.
那 Krishna 在国家梵歌里面也就是说到了，他警示这个 Arjuna 要远离这些坏品质。
Especially lust, greed, and anger.
主要就是色欲、贪婪和愤怒。
then a devotee only eat as much as required.
奉献者呢, 他一定是食量适中的。
So, of course, this means only eating Krishna prasadam.
那在这里呢, 他就是说, 奉献者有需要的时候, 他才去吃东西。 那就奉献者他只, 他只是吃荣耀这个prasadam, 他不吃prasadam之外的东西。
In the early stages of Krishna consciousness, new devotees, they like to eat a lot of prasadam.
在这个Krishna知觉的, 起步的时候呢, 新的奉献者往往就会吃大量的prasadam。
And it's good because eating a lot of prasadam means that we purify our senses instead of eating bhoga.
那这个其实也是很好的，在开始的时候多荣耀，多吃一些prasadam，让这些prasadam可以净化我们的这个身心。说呢，就是去一些未供奉的食物，那梵文里叫 bhoga.
But can you explain what bhoga is?
I explained.
Okay. But as time goes and as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one should regulate the heating habits.
但是呢，随着你灵修的这个深入下去呢，你就要对你的这种食量，对你这种饮食的这个习惯呢，都要懂得去控制了。The
good thing with the prasadam in China is that there is no chance for devotees to overeat.
这个在中国的这个奉献者有一个有利的地方，就是说奉献者基本上是没有机会过度的这个荣耀菩萨的。
And you don't see devotees eating very rich, opulent prasadam.
然后中国的奉献者们一般来说饮食是比较清淡的，不会吃那种油多味重的这种食物。
But in other temples and in other ashrams around the world, we see that the prasadam is very, very opulent.
但是在中国其他的一些庙宇里面呢，我们就可以看到他们做出来的这个prasadam呢，都是非常口味很重的，就是非常极其极其的丰富。And
devotees overeat and then they put on weight.
然后呢，奉献者吃的太多了，控制不了了，然后呢就长得很胖。But
sometimes they get sick.
有的时候还会生病。And
then they are forced to go on diet.
然后呢，生病了之后呢，还得强迫自己节食。That's
why now there's everybody has to eat very healthy prasadam.
这就是为什么现在有好多时间很长的奉献者呢，就不得不就是对食物。 非常的精心的选择，必须要吃健康食品了。But
there's no such a thing as healthy prasadam and not healthy prasadam. Prasadam is prasadam.
就是他们要得选择健康prasadam，但实际上呢，根本上没有什么健康的prasadam和不健康的prasadam，prasadam就是prasadam。 就比如说，在格里玛雅普每天早上的时候，有一群俄罗斯的奉献者，他们会出售一些叫做健康prasadam。So
I asked one Chinese devotee if they've ever eaten there. He said, "Yes, we've eaten there." I said, "What is it like?" He said, "Well, it's prasadam for elderly people."
然后呢，我见到中国奉献者的时候，就问他们说：“你们有没有在那俄罗斯奉献者那里？” 吃过他们的荣耀过他们的这个prasadam啦，中国奉献者就是说有啊，然后我就问他们说，那这个prasadam怎么样啊？中国奉献者说呢，就是好比是老人吃的食物。So
Prabhupada gave the right balance by telling the devotees you should eat simple prasadam during the week, and then when you meet together on the weekend, you can have a little feast.
那Śrīla Prabhupāda其实是为我们提供了一种平衡的方法。 就是平常周一到周五的时候呢，就吃的清淡简单一些，然后到了周末的时候，去邀请外面的人的时候，跟外面人见面的时候，这个时候呢就可以非常的这种丰富。The
devotee is not inebriated.
就是一个奉献者一定是头脑清晰的。
Which means the devotee is mentally stable.
就是说呢，一个人呢，一个奉献者，他就是说他的这个心意上面是非常的稳定的。
Not expressing crazy behavior.
就是他不会有这种疯狂的举止。
Prabhupada used to tell the devotees, "We don't need lazy, we don't need crazy."
但是奉献者非常的有理智的。那释迦牟尼佛呢？他曾经说过，我们不需要这个英文里面叫 lazy 和 crazy 啊，这是押韵的。那这是指的是我们不需要这个懒惰和疯狂的奉献者。
The devotee is always respectful.
一个奉献者呢，他总是对他人表示尊重。
Respectful means that
彬彬有礼。
You may not agree with someone else's opinion, but still you respect it.
就是一个奉献者很尊重他人，就是可能这个奉献者他不一定完全的认同于另外一个人的观点。但是呢，他还是表现出这种尊重。
You may not agree with someone's behavior or someone's actions, but still you respect it.
就是别人的这个举动呢，可能你并不是很认同的，但是你还是对他们表示尊重。
And that goes with dealings with devotees and dealings with non-devotees.
所以呢，这个就是表现在你和奉献者之间的这种关系，还有你跟非奉献者之间的这种交往中。
The devotee is grave.
一个奉献者是非常庄重的。
Of course, the process of devotional service always makes the devotees very jolly and happy and blissful.
当然了，这个奉爱的这个程序呢，会让每一个奉献者呢，总是非常的喜悦，甚至是非常的欢呼雀跃，非常狂喜的。
And devotees always like to have a good laugh.
奉献者呢都很爱笑，开怀大笑。
Internally, a devotee should always be very grave because the situation in this material world is not a funny situation.
但是呢，从内心深处来说呢，奉献者应当是非常的严肃的，因为他们都非常的清楚他们所在的这个物质这个世界，物质的这个环境呢，它并不是一个让人可以非常轻描淡写的生活的一个地方。
A devotee is compassionate.
就是一个奉献者一定是充满着仁慈之心的。
So, compassion is not an easy quality to understand.
这样的一种品格其实不太容易能理解。
Because different people think differently about what compassion is.
那这种仁慈慈悲究竟是什么含义呢？可能大家都会各抒己见。
Sometimes devotees feel compassionate for no reason.
有一些奉献者呢，他有的时候，他会这个没有，就是他 felt no reason, 就是 unconscious.
No. Sometimes devotees feel compassionate, but actually that compassion is not channeled properly.
就是说有的时候呢，一个奉献者他可能心生这种仁慈之心，但是呢其实他也是摆错了这个地方，就是说他的这个情感呢并没有疏导到一个真正应当值得你去表现出这种慈悲之心的地方。
For example, in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talks about charityin different modes of material nature, passion, goodness, and ignorance.
就比如说在《博伽梵歌》第十八章的时候呢，Krishna 他就讲到了，就是受到三种物质自然形态影响下的布施。
So you may be giving the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person.
就是可能呢，你就是在一个不当的时间、不当的地点，给了一个不适合的人一些布施。
So to be compassionate actually is to remove ignorance and to give Krishna consciousness.
所以呢，在这里所说到的这个仁慈的这个真意，就是说要去除掉这种愚昧，而把这个 Krishna 知觉，帮助一个人去除愚昧，把 Krishna 知觉给予他。
Srila Prabhupada one time was giving a public lecture in India.
有一次，Srila Prabhupada在印度有一个公开的演讲。
And there were thousands of people attending the lecture.
当时呢有这个成千上万的人都参加了这次讲座。
And Prabhupada was actually quite strong in describing how people are so attached to materialistic activities.
那当讲到这个人们是怎么样依附于这种物质的活动的时候 ，Srila Prabhupada 的措辞非常的激烈。
Because Prabhupada was always a very outspoken person.
因为呢 ，Srila Prabhupada 呢，他总是说话非常的直截了当。
So one lady, not an Indian lady, there was a foreign lady at the back of the crowd. She asked Prabhupada. She said, "You're a big master. You're a big guru." I don't see where is your compassion.
那么所以这个时候人群当中呢，就坐在后头有这么一个人。这个人他不是印度人，是一个西方人。他就站起来，他说呢，就是说，您被认为是一位大师啊，但是呢，但是您的这个仁慈、这个怜悯之心、慈悲之心表现在哪里呢？
And Prabhupada,
就是他说话太重了，就是。
Prabhupada became even more upset.
那这时候是啊，帕普帕呢就更加的生气了。
He said, "What do you know about compassion?"
那是啊，帕帕他就说，你对仁慈有什么了解
？He said, "Your compassion is like blowing on the boil."
他就说呢，你所认为的这种慈悲，就好像是一个人身上长了一个包，然后你去吹那个包一样。
When the blood is infected, it forms a boil which is very painful.
就是当一个人这个皮肤受到这个病菌感染的时候，就会长一个脓包，这个时候是很疼很疼的。
And they go to the doctor, and the doctor will blow on it and say, "Okay, you'll feel better now."
那这样的一个病人到医院里去见医生的时候，这个医生是不是就是在那包上面轻轻的吹一吹，缓解一下的疼痛，然后就跟他说，现在你好了，可以回家了呢
？So that's not compassion.
那这个不叫仁慈，这个不叫慈悲。
Compassion is when the doctor takes a very sharp knife, cuts the boil, lets the pus run out. You may scream for a while, but the disease is gone.
那在这里呢，什么叫做真正的慈悲？这个医生一定是拿起手术刀来，毫不犹豫的，一刀就切开你的这个脓包，然后把里面的这个脓血给它挤出来。那这个手术刀一下的时候，你可能就会疼得尖叫起来。但是等一会儿，等把这些脓血都去除之后，这个伤口慢慢愈合的时候，你就会觉得很好了。
So sometimes spiritual life can be a little bit painful, but it's because we'll feel much better later.
那这个灵修的这个生活，有的时候也会给予我们这样的一种感觉，好像觉得疼得受不了了。但是呢，我们要知道。只是说现在短暂的这个疼痛，接下来就会越来越好。
A devotee is without false prestige.
一个奉献者一定是没有虚荣感的。
In other words, a devotee never promotes one's own spiritual achievements to the public, whether it's devotees or non-devotees.
就是说呢，换句话说呢，一个人他肯定不会在这个公众的面前，不管是在奉献者的面前还是在非奉献者的面前去这个吹嘘标榜自己在灵性上的成就。
A devotee is friendly.
因为奉献者应当是非常的友善的友好的。
Again, different people have different ideas about what is to be friendly.
那么关于什么是这个友好呢友善呢可能也是各有各的理解。
Some people, they appear friendly, but actually they are not.
那有些人看上去非常的友好、友善，但是实际上并非如此。
Friendly means that externally you show proper friendly behavior, but you also prepare to help, even if it's not to foster Krishna consciousness.
Excuse me, I was distracted.
Friendly is not just external behavior.
就是这种友善呢，并不是一种外在的举动而已、行动而已。
You should also be prepared to help.
你还要随时的做好这种准备，随时去帮助别人。
A devotee is poetic.
一个奉献者呢，是充满着诗意的。
Means that the devotee also has the ability to express oneself with suitable words to glorify Krishna and glorify the devotees.
就是说呢，这个奉献者呢，他知道如何用这个恰如其分的语言去荣耀 Krishna 和荣耀其他的奉献者。
A devotee is expert.
一个奉献者一定是非常的精湛。
This is something which is very much needed to equality when we progress in Krishna consciousness to be expert.
就是说当我们在 Krishna 知觉当中一步一步的往前走的时候呢，这也是一种非常重要的品质，就是你做什么事情的话呢，一定要非常的在行，非常的精到。
It's not that we should be expert at everything, because our nature may not call for that kind of expertise.
但是呢，这并不是意味着你样样都做得非常的精湛，因为我们有每个人有自己的这个天性，有自己的这个性格，所以说呢，并不是说你肯定就是一定是一个多面手。
Whatever we like to do, we should be expert at that thing.
但是不管是我们做什么事情，那一旦是做了的话，就要把它做到最好。
It's not possible to find someone who is expert at everything.
就是很难找到一个样样都是非常精通的一个人。
Actually, Prabhupada was expert at everything.
不过呢，可能 Prabhupada 是一个例外，他就是一个样样精通的人。
But we have to, if we like to cook, we should be expert cook. If we like to clean, we should be expert cleaning. If we like to sing, we should be expert singer. We should not do just mediocre. We should learn to be expert. Why? Because we have to look at satisfying Krishna's senses.
那就是说，如果说你喜欢做饭的话，那你就要做成一个就是好厨师。然后呢，如果一个厨艺大师，你要朝着那个目标走。如果是你那个很喜欢打扫卫生的话呢，你也应当要做到这个极致啊。如果说你喜欢唱歌的话，那你也要成为一个最好的歌手。为什么呢？因为我们无论做任何的这个奉献服务，最终的这个目标是为了要取悦 Krishna 的感官，所以必须要做到精到。
So actually, when you look at all these qualities, these are the qualities which are found in Srimati Radharani, and these are the qualities which all the servants of Krishna in the spiritual world have to the highest degree.
那如果我们看一下所有的这二十六项品质的话，就会看到这些品质呢，都是在这个 Srimati Radharani 的这个身上可以看到。其实，在这个灵性世界的这个所有的这些灵魂身上，他们都可以看到这些品格都达到了极致。
And finally, a devotee is silent.
那最后呢，还有一条就是一个奉献者是沉默的。
So, what does that mean to be silent? It means you never speak.
说到这个沉默这个词的时候，那我们就要想想什么意思？这难道意思就是说一个人总是沉默不语吗？
To be silent means that you reduce the propensity to waste time talking about nothing.
这个沉默的意思呢，就是说你要就是减少一种去谈这个无聊的话题的倾向。
And you increase the propensity to speak about Krishna.
然后呢，你要加强你去谈 Krishna 的这种倾向。
So you can say that someone who talks about Krishna all the time is very silent.
所以你可以说，一个人他如果总是在滔滔不绝的讲有关 Krishna 的这个话题，那他也是沉默的。
But silent can also mean that a devotee may not speak very much, but thinks a lot about Krishna.
但是这个沉默可能也是这样的一种表现，一个奉献者口头上他可能谈 Krishna 不多，但是他的心里总是想着 Krishna。
So these are the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava.
这个是一个 Vaishnava 奉献者的身上表现出来的26项品质。
And then Lord Chaitanya is going to quote a very famous verse from the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
然后接下来呢，齐三娘马哈帕夫他就引用了圣典博加瓦坛的第三篇当中的这个世界
，which explains more qualities of a devotee。
那就是对于这个奉献者的这个品质的描述呢，就又进一步的有所延伸。
But these qualities actually embody the essence of the qualities of a Vaishnava.
但是呢，这些品格其实是 Vaishnava 的这些品格当中的精华部分。
In other words, if you can't cultivate these 26 qualities, if you have the following ones, then you are on the path of perfection.
那如果说你没有把这二十六项品质都表就是培养出来，但是你至少有下面说的这几种品质的话，那也可以说已经达到了完美的境界了。
Titikshava karunika suridam sarvadehinam ajata satrava santa sadava sadhu bhushanaha. Devotees are always tolerant, forbearing, and very, very merciful.They are the well-wishers of every living entity. They follow the scriptural injunctions, and because they have no enemies, they are very peaceful. These are the decorations of a devotee.
在这里就是说到了奉献者总是非常的宽厚容忍，非常的仁慈。他们是众生的祝福者，他们遵循经典的训谕，因为他们没有任何的敌人，因此内心总是平和自处，这都是奉献者的装饰。
So this is a very important verse, very famous, and we will discuss it next week.
那这一段这个诗文是非常的著名的，下一周的这个课上，我们再进行详细的分析和讲解。
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.OK, Hanakili, 第一个问题，感恩帕布和马太吉的清新讲述，请问印度的虔诚富豪的第一桶金是 Krishna 给的，还是很努力的赚来的呢？Thank you very much for your description.My question is about the pious, wealthy peoples in India. How do they get the first batch of gold? Is it through very extraneous efforts or not?
First batch of what?
They get, what do you say, they get first batch of gold?
Gold?
The money, the first batch of wealth.What do you say that is a particular word? When they get the first batch of their money to start with.
Families. Krishna says that in Bhagavad Gita.
就是 Krishna 在《佛家梵歌》里讲了，有很多人他们是出生在非常有钱的人家里。
I think there's a major difference between when spiritual culture was prominent in the world.And people being smart today.
Can you repeat?
There's a difference between a cultured civilization and an uncultured civilization.
就是说这个世界上有这种不同的文明，有的这个文明呢，就是本身就是充满着文化的，有一些就是一种不文明的一种国家。
In other words, previously people were born in wealthy families because of their pious credit.
就是以前的人，他们是因为做从事了很多这个虔诚的这个活动，所以呢，自然而然的，因为这个业报的使然，所以他们就得到了好多的财富。
And wealth has always run within that particular family.
所以呢，他们这个家族就是非常的殷实的。
And because the people in that family are pious, it's not like suddenly the wealth is completely taken away.And the whole family is destroyed. It's not like that.
所以呢，因为这个家族它向来就是说是非常的殷实，同时也是非常的这个虔诚的，所以说呢，就这样代代的相传，不会说突然间到了某一代呢，就变得一贫如洗了，就这些钱都被带走了。
Because these families are pious.
因为他们这个家族就是非常的虔诚。
So if they are pious.Nature reciprocates. They are wealthy. They are opulent.
所以呢，如果是他们的非常的这个虔诚的话，那这个这个大自然就会去回馈他们。
Which is very different from today. Somebody who comes out of a village and starts selling a product on the street, and then 10 years later, he's got a huge empire selling all sorts of things.
这个跟我们现在所遇到的一些情况不会一样的，因为现在的话就是有好多人都是出身贫寒，就比如说从农村里面出来，然后就开始就是 卖一些小商品，然后慢慢的就攒起了这个家业，最后呢就是有一个非常大的这个企业，可以去卖，去做各种各样的生意啊。一般来说不是这种情况，传统上。
Because we see today so many wealthy people collapse overnight because their motivation, their ways of operating, and their mood is not proper for keeping that wealth.
因为我们现在所看到的很多的非常富有的人呢，他可能就是说一夜之间了，可能就是失去了所有的这些财富，因为呢，他们就是说不是取之有道的，然后他们怎么去运用这个财富，然后呢，他们又是拿这些财富他们去做些什么，怎么样去维系这些财富，这些都做的是不恰当的，所以说呢，就有可能会出现这种一夜之间啊，就是一败涂地的状况。
People break the law, people are corrupted, they make a lot of money, but the point is this wealth will not stay with them.
就是有一些人呢，他们可能是违反了法律或者是贪污受贿所积攒的这些财富的，但是这些财富呢，它不是自然得来的，所以不可能就是一直的保存下来。
Sometimes devotees have a lump sum of money and then they invest it because they think they're going to make more money.And actually, they lose everything.
那有时候这奉献者也会出现这样的一些情况，他们有挣了很多很多的钱，然后呢，想要钱生钱，所以说就拿这个钱去投资，但是呢，这个一夜之间呢，就是说所有的这个财富呢，就全部都失去了，因为这个不是去挣钱和维系金钱的一个恰当的方法。
Prabhupada explains very clearly, devotees should not work hard to accumulate wealth. Prabhupada says, you have money, spend it. More money will come. If no more money comes, just be happy.
Srila Prabhupada 他是这样的对奉献者的这个建议，就是说奉献者去不要去努力的这个挣钱，只是为了把这个金钱去积攒起来，只要是挣了的这个钱呢，就应当去恰当的使用，为 Krishna 做奉献服务。那继续挣，如果说挣不来钱的话，没有钱的话，奉献者呢，也应当不要感到烦恼，应当还是非常的这个快乐。
So there's a difference, especially because previously people were situated within the Varnashram system, so they were naturally wealthy and well looked after.
就是以前的人，就是古代的人，他们就是非常好的处在这种 Varnashram 四社会阶层四灵性阶段当中，所以呢他们是处在一个非常稳固的一个状态之下，所以也很自然的就得到了非常好的照顾。下一个问题哈，帕布不好意思，所以 Prasada 虽然是被 Krishna 祝福的灵性食物，但依然有否健康的问题，这怎么理解呢？难道 Krishna 没有把不健康的因素拿走吗？还是 Prasada 只是在灵性上滋养，而对于物质具体不应问题不恰当的地方请原谅？ I'm not sure if it is a very proper question.
Who is asking that?
Diana Kelly. My question is, does that mean that although Prasada isa blessed spiritual food, but the health problem should still be considered. In other words, may be healthy or not be healthy. So how to understand, shouldn't Krishna have taken away all the unhealthy factors while we offer the food? Or can we understand that prasadam is only nourishing in a spiritual sense?But for the material body, it's not necessarily healthy.
The point is, the way it works, the whole principle of prasadam, as people understand it here in India, in terms of the culture of prasadam.
就是说在这个印度呢，关于这个prasadam 的这样的一种文化是这样的。
people take prasadam, which is offered to the deities, which is very opulent, and that they take only a little portion, just to respect it and taste it.
就是在印度的话呢，就是供奉给这个神像的这个食物，都是口味比较重的，然后极其丰富的。然后当他们去荣耀这个玛哈普沙兰的时候呢，也就是一点点，就荣耀那么一点点，是出于一种非常前进尊重的这样的一种心态，就是是不会去过度的。
But the devotee's meal, which is also prasadam, is basic and simple.
那作为这个奉献者的这种日常的饮食，这个 prasadam 是非常这个简单的。
So we can't always eat what Krishna eats.
所以我们不能总是去荣耀 Krishna， 荣耀的直接就是不管 Krishna 吃什么，我们跟 Krishna 完全吃的一样，这是不可能。
So there is no limit to how many opulent dishes you can offer to Krishna.
所以你给 Krishna 这个供奉。这个食物供奉就是这个 prasadam 究竟多好品种，然后做的有多么的这个口味怎么重，这个的话可以说是无穷无尽。
But we have to have a good plan what we're going to do with all these offerings.
但是所有的这些给 Krishna 供奉的这么多的这些食物，究竟应当怎么样去对待，这个是有讲究的。
The idea of cooking delicious dishes for Krishna is not that Krishna actually needs them. We need to express our love, therefore we make an effort.
但是为 Krishna 做这么可口、美味、丰富的这个大餐呢，实际上并不是 Krishna 的需要，而是我们奉献者的需要，因为我们需要这种爱，我们需要这种敬怀。
So, what does that mean to eat healthy prasadam? Means that it is satisfying to Krishna, but it's also very nutritious for ourselves.
所以呢，说到的这个健康的这个 prasadam 呢，这个意味着就是说，这个不光是这个取悦 Krishna 的，而且呢，也是对我们自身来说是也是非常的有营养的。
And again, it's the devotion that counts.
还有呢，就是在这儿要强调的，就是实际上这个奉爱之情才是关键。
Some people may make a huge effort to cook elaborate dishes, but their mood is not as devotion as another person who would just offer a fruit, for example.
就是一个人他可能就是做了很多很丰富的这个食物，非常的复杂去做这个供奉，然后另外一个人呢，他可能只是去供奉一个水果，但是前者的这种奉爱之心可能还不及后者。
We have this example in the Mahabharata. Duryodhana invited Krishna and got amazing dishes prepared for him. Krishna did not accept the invitation. Instead, he went to the house of Vidura and ate a banana.
就是在这个 Mahabharata 摩诃婆罗多伟大的巴拉达这个里面，我们也可以看到这样的故事，就是 Duryodhana 他就是。做了一个非常丰盛的大餐来邀请Krishna， 但是呢 ，Krishna 却没有接受他的邀请，相反呢，他去拜访了 Vidura， 在 Vidura 的这个家里呢，只是是吃了一个香蕉。
Next question。
下一个问题来自于 Sumukhi Radha， 感恩 Papu 和 Manaji 来自 Mayapu 的清晨中甜美的讲课，请问奉献者总是仁慈的。待人总是为他人考虑，是否也要先照顾好自己，知道自己的底线呢？如果因为不会恰当的取舍和拒绝，或者为了帮助他人而过度的消耗了自己，耗尽了自己，该如何找到平衡和把握好尺度呢？还有一种情况，关心是不是也要考虑到健康的界限的问题？很多过分热心的帮助未必是人家需要的，这也可能来自自己的需要的被需要。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. When we talked about being compassionate to the devotees or being very considerate for devotees, should we also consider that we take care of ourselves first and know our bottom line first?Because if we don't know how to say no and how to be selective, then it's just for the purpose of helping others, we exhaust ourselves to maximum, then that is not very good. So how can we find a balance between these two? Another situation is when we talked about devotee care, should we also consider our health, not our health, but to consider the health itself, because over-enthusiastic help may not be what's actually needed by someone else. It is actually out of the need to feel that we are needed. Yes, that's a question. Is it clear?
Well, she has answered her own question.
Maybe you can elaborate.
Just translate that first.
就是白拉沙帕布说你就是，其实你已经回答了自己的问题。
Yeah, in other words, you can't help others if you are not fit yourself to help them.
就是说呢，你如果是你想帮助别人，但是你自己还不是很健康的这种状况，那么你就没有办法去真正的帮助到别人。
So if we are inclined to help others because the devotee is compassionate, then we have to look at our own well-being spiritually and materially.
那因为奉献者我们说到的应当是非常，就是也会很想帮助别人，但是这里有一个前提，你首先要看看你自己在这个物质上和灵性上是否算得上是健康的。
Now, comes to striking a balance, we have to understand that it's not a question of quantity, it's a question of quality.
然后你在这里也说到了这个平衡，那这个平衡呢，就是在这里我们要知道，就是这不是一个数量的问题，而且实际上是一个质量的问题。
And the example is that you can't say, I need to read all of Prabhupada's books and completely understand everything before I can start explaining it to others.
但是另外一方面的话呢，就好比说读书一样，你不能说，我得把师拉帕帕的书，全部都这个读完，然后完全透彻的这个理解，我才能跟别人去解释。
In other words, devotees may get so much training.
就是换句话说，奉献者可能得到了很多的培训。
And they listen to so many lectures.
然后也听很多的这个课程。
And they go on so many seminars.
参加好多好多的这种研讨会。
And they study so many books and so many programs.
然后呢，看了很多的书，参加了很多的活动。
So much so that it just becomes a lifestyle.
然后对他们来说呢，就好像是一种生活方式了。
This is out of balance.
这个就叫做没有掌握好平衡。
Just study and study and learn and learn and learn and then nothing else happens.
吸收，但是实际上呢，就没有什么成效。
Now in the early days of Krishna consciousness, it was the opposite.
但是在这个 Krishna 知觉的运动的这个早期的时候，正好是一个相反的一个状况。
Devotees were always out meeting people and helping people, but as Prabhupada says, you distribute my books, but you don't read them.
就是那个时候呢，奉献者就天天的就是出去去派书啊，去帮助别人。但是呢，就像是老帕帕说的一样，说你虽然去派书，但是你却没有读我的书。
So we have to strike a balance.
所以我们必须要找到这个平衡点。
And whatever we learn one time, we practice that thing immediately. We don't just accumulate knowledge or accumulate experience.
所以说呢，就是在这里一定要做到一个知行合一。就是你不管是学到一些什么的话，你吸收的话，你马上就要付诸实践，就要去学会运用的，而不是说你吸收进来的东西只是你自己攒的、自己累积着，却不去运用它。
Sometimes you read one paragraph in one page, and that paragraph will give you inspiration to do so many wonderful things.
有的时候你可能只是在书里面看到了一段文字，但是呢，这段文字呢，深深的植入了你的心里，只是凭着这一段文字所给你带来的巨大的这个鼓舞，你就可以做很多很多的事情了。
Sometimes you would listen to one lecture, and this will inspire you to do so much service.
有的时候你只是听了一堂课，但是呢，你却深受，可以做很多很多的服务。
Or you'll spend 1 hour with a devotee, and you will understand actually what you're supposed to be doing.
然后你有的时候你跟奉献者可能只是有一个小时短短的这个联谊。但是呢，你立刻就非常的清晰自己应当去做些什么。
We see so many devotees who are taking so many study programs, but what is the result?
我们现在看到奉献者纷纷的都在听课，听很多很多的课。但是我们也要想一想，所有的这些听课的这个结果是什么
？Devotees do bhakti shastri, bhakti vaibha, this one, that one, this one, but what is the result？
就是奉献者也参加这个 bhakti shastri 分爱的这个课程 ，bhakti vaibha， 这些各种各样的课程这个讲座呢，要问的是，那这个结果是什么呢？有没有付诸实施呢？就是这个是关键。
You read the whole Srimad Bhagavatam, you read the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, but what is the result?
圣典博迦瓦坛也都通读了 ，Chaitanya Charitamrita 也通读了，那最后的这个结果是什么呢
？I know one devotee in China who spends very, very little time with their spiritual master, who reads just a little bit every day, but very, very motivated to spend people and help them.I know one person.
在中国我是知道有这么一个奉献者，他跟灵性导师联谊的时间非常的短暂，他每天也可能只有一点点的时间来读书，但是呢，他就是时时刻刻的都在帮助别人，都在服务别人。我知道有这样的一个人。
She's very self-motivated.
而且他就是说他就是一个充满的这个。就是激励别人的一个人，他就是做所有的这些事情都是充满着这个热情和动力。
So if we have a good sadhana and we do our regular reading of Prabhupada's book, this should be inspire a gift to others.
所以说，如果你能够做很好的这个 sadhana 规范的修习，能够保持这一点，然后又看《Srila Prabhupada》的这个书籍的话，那么这两者应该已经足以使你具有这个足够的去动力去一直的去帮助别人了。所以这个是一个质的问题，而不是量的问题。智敏顶拜不如感谢翻译，要把自己的天性做到极致来取悦。Krishna 这个天性是在做奉爱服务过程中自己会逐渐知道的吗？这个天性是灵魂的吗？还是混杂了的物质的？比如说过往工作的经验、教育、家庭教育以及培养等等。Thank you very much. You just mentioned that we have to be very expert, meaning that whatever we do, according to our nature, we should bring it to the perfection in order to please Krishna. So, this nature is cultivated or gradually to be known to yourself in the process of devotional service, or not. Does the nature belongs to the soul, or it might be mixed with some material experience? For example, your previous work experience, your family, educational background, or self-cultivation itself, etc.
Yes, this is a very good point.
您说的非常的好，这个也问到了点子上。
It can be a combination of all these things.
可能就是你刚才所说的所有的各个方面的一个综合。
Can be work experience, family upbringing, personal tendencies.
可以是你这个工作方面的这种经验，也可以是你的。这个家庭的成长环境也可能就是说你自己的这种培养
And we can put all this in the service of Krishna.
那你就可以把所有还有就是以你自己的天性而来的一些特点，那么你要把所有的这一些呢都综合到一起，去很好的为 Krishna 做奉献服务。
And previously we may not have had the chance to bring that expertise to such a high level, but in Krishna consciousness we get the motivation to really do something special.
那在你就是开始做奉献服务之前的话，即便是你已经有了你的这种天赋啊，还有一些你的经验啊等等，但是你可能还不知道怎么样去很好的运用你的这些特点，让他们做到极致。但是你成了奉献者之后呢，你就可以获得一种巨大的这种动力啊，非常好的去运用你这些现有的一些条件，能够去做出一些非常出色的事情。
I was talking to a devotee yesterday. He was telling me about his wife.
昨天我一个跟奉献者在交流，他就和我谈到了他的妻子。
And he was telling me that his wife, she always enjoyed cooking, but you know, it was pretty basic.
他就跟我妻子很喜欢做饭，但是做的饭呢，就是能吃就行，很简单的那种。
But when she became a devotee, she went on to a 3-month course to learn about pastry making.
但是呢，她成了这个奉献者之后呢，她就动力大增。她用了3个月的这个时间，专门去学习怎么样去做那种甜点、西点。
And then she did another course on cake decoration.
然后接下来又去上了一个课，这个课呢，主要是就是教你怎么装饰糕点的这种裱花呀之类的这种。
Because she wanted to use all these things for the pleasure of Krishna.
因为她就是想学完了所有的这些之后呢，好好的去做这个服务，去取悦 Krishna.
And she actually, I mean, when you see what she makes for Krishna, it's actually amazing.
那你要是看看她为 Krishna 所做的一切的话，可能真的是会叹为观止的。
Now, that particular devotee is actually quite famous.
那个奉献者其实是现在是非常的著名的。
His name is Sadbhuj Prabhu.
他的名字叫做 Sadbhuj Prabhu.
You may not, or some of you may know him.
他可能有些人是认识他的。
But he's actually responsible for building the TOVP here in Mayapur.
其实他是Mayapur 的这个 TOVP 啊，这个大庙的一个主持，就是大庙这个工程的一个总负责人。
Now, Sadbhuj's background before he became a devotee was he learned a little bit of civil engineering.
其实 Sadbhuj 的这个他的教育背景是什么？就是他成为奉献者之前呢，他稍微学了一点点公民建。
He didn't, you know, there's no way that that he would know how to do what he is doing with the TOVP now.
但是当时的那一点点的这个建筑学方面的这些知识是绝对不可能支持他来主持这么大的一个工程项目，就是这个 TOVP。
So when he left Australia to move to Mayapur, the first service that he was given was to complete Srila Prabhupada's Samadhi.
那他离开了这个澳大利亚来到这个印度的时候呢，他当时奉献者交给他的第一项这个服务就是说完成 Srila Prabhupada 的 Samadhi 的建设。
And he did an amazing job, even though he was not expert, but he became expert.
就是当时虽然他还谈不上是一个专家，但是呢，在这个 Prabhupada 的 Samadhi 的这种过程当中，他就成了一个名副其实的一个专家，然后最后的这个结果也是非常的辉煌的。
And today he's heading this most amazing project of building the samadhi. He has become expert.
然后今天呢，他就是一个真正的一个这方面的这个专家了。他就成了这个建造这个 TOVP Mayapur 大庙的一个带头人。他就是领导整个的这个团队来主持这么大的一个工程项目。
Another aspect of this, because this is a very important thing about expertise, is when a devotee is surrendered to the guru, naturally the gift which is already in the heart manifests, and devotee can do amazing things even beyond their own expectations.
那还有一个情况就是一个奉献者他若是总是跟他的灵性导师在一起的话，那么他就是本身的这种天性当中的和一些潜在的一些天赋其实就得到了最大程度的一个激发，甚至都超过了他们自身的这种想象，他们真的是能够做出一些令人惊叹的成就。
And If you want to have a good example of this, you read the two volumes of the Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, and you will see what the devotees were able to achieve just being of being inspired by Srila Prabhupada.
那如果说你们想要有的去了解这一点，看到一些实例的话呢，可以去看这个Srila Prabhupada的 Lilamrita， 就是他的 Srila Prabhupada 的这个逍遥甘露，就是里面呢有很多很多这样的这个故事，可以看到这些奉献者就是因为在 Srila Prabhupada 的身边，就是跟 Srila Prabhupada 在一起，然后受到 Srila Prabhupada 的巨大的这种激励，所以他们就是发挥出了惊人的才能。
So when a devotee is really motivated and inspired by the spiritual master, that devotee can achieve things beyond imagination.
所以当一个奉献者他受到了他的灵性导师的这个激励的时候，他可以做出一些超乎想象的、令人叹为观止的一些壮举。
Okay.
Varadaishvara.
This was her question. I thought it was here.
Yang Gailian. I missed it. Yang Gailian. 下一个问题是 Yang Gailian. 顶拜 Guru, 顶拜翻译。如果说说了实话不能取悦别人，还能说实话吗？忠言逆耳。国家梵歌里说说话要悦人宜人，是不是灵魂在没有唤醒之前都是处在睡觉的状态，所以说的实话也不是实话，是胡话，最好不要说话，因为每个人生来程序都是定好的。那在没有正确的 Krishna 知觉的时候，就只有沿着自己的程序前行，这样的理解对吗？感恩 Guru， 顶拜您。Thank you very much for your wonderful class. My question is, if we say that to speak the truthSpeak the truth. If speaking the truth can't be pleasing to others, can we still speak the truth? Sometimes good advice may cause unpleasant feelings. But in Bhagavad Gita, we know that we should always pleasing words to others. So can we understand that before the soul is awakened, the souls are actually dormant, it's in a sleeping state. So whatever we speak before the soul is awakened, we think that we are speaking some truth, but actually it's all nonsense. So it's better that before the soul is awakened, we should rather be silent, not speaking. So can we understand that also when someone is born, his procedure, and he used the word procedure in this a lifetime is already predestined. But before we get to take the right path of Krishna consciousness, we can only follow our procedure to go forward. Can we understand like that?
What does that have to do with truthfulness, the second part?
It's an extension of the last part of the first questions, which means that before the soul is awakened, which means before we do the devotional service, actually we are only follow our predestined procedure, which is our karma, and whatever we speak is actually nonsense. It's not real speaking. We can't make a very conscious choice. We just follow the procedure.
Yeah, I understand. Anyway, the point is that being truthful can be hurtful.
有的时候呢，说真话、真诚可能是会伤到人的。
So we have to learn to be truthful based on who is the recipient of the truth.
所以当你去说这个真话，你要真实的话，那你也要看一看对方他的这种接受能力。
So being truthful is also very closely connected to compassion.
所以呢，这种真实，这个真诚和那个仁慈这两者其实也是相关的。
Now the important point is that you can be truthful as long as you are very pure.
还有一个非常重要的就是说，如果你是非常纯粹的话，那你可以尽量的去说实话。
people will accept the truth from a pure person.
因为如果一个纯粹的人讲出来的这个实话，说的是这个真话的话，那即便是忠言逆耳，那这个聆听的人他们也是可以接受的。
Even if it's not palatable.
啊，对，就像你说的，即便他是忠言逆耳的，
But oftentimes we have to use all sorts of niceties and politeness to say something which actually is not the full truth.
所以有的时候呢，我们也要注意这种说话的这种方式，要以一种让别人比较能够接受的，听上去比较悦人的这种方式，有的时候呢还要加一些这个赞美啊，这种好听的一些甜美的这个话，但是有可能说出来的这个话并不是100%的真话。
There are many examples in the Srimad Bhagavatam about this kind of situation.
这种情况在这个圣典博迦瓦坛的很多地方都有说到。
One example that comes to mind is when Narada Muni met the hunter for the first time, he told him, if you want to kill these animals, why don't you kill them all the way? Why do you let them suffer? Was that truthful? No, it wasn't truthful.
那我现在想起来的一个例子，就好像是那个 Narada Muni 他第一次见到那个猎人的时候，大家知道这个猎人他就是喜欢把这个动物弄得半死不活的，以此就是取乐。那么 Narada Muni 当时见到这个猎人的时候，就对他说：“你为什么要这么去做呢？你倒不如说，一下子就把这个动物给杀死了，不要这么把用这种半死不活的这种方式来折磨。”
Narada Muni was trying to help the hunter not to accumulate sinful activities.
但是 Narada Muni 这句话真的是这么回事吗？意思是说他可以一下子就是把这个动物杀死吗？这个并不是这样子的。这个 Narada Muni 其实说这句话的这个意思就是他希望这个猎人可以把自己的这个罪恶给他停止。
Because the hunter was not ready to accept the truth.
因为这个时候这个猎人还没有做好就是接受真话的准备。
The truth came later when Narada Muni told him, give away everything you have, sit on the bank of the river and just chant Hare Krishna and everything will be provided.
那最后 Narada Muni 给这个猎人说的一个头彻尾的真话是什么呢？就是让他就是放下一切。就是不要做这个猎人了，放下一切，然后你就只要到这个Yamuna河边上去坐着，然后只要去唱诵圣名的话，就可以了。其他的所有的一切就是自有安排，你一定会得到照顾的。
There's also the story of Maharaj Chitraketu who asked the sage to bless him to have a child.
还有呢，就是 Maharaj Chitraketu 的那个故事，就是说，他呢去祈求能够得到这个祝福，因为他没有孩子，所以他希望得到这个祝福之后呢，他能够得到一个儿子。
So the sage blessed him, but he said, "You have to be careful. It may not be bring you complete happiness."
那么这个圣人呢，就对他说了一句话，他说的，当你这个说出这个祈祷的时候呢，这个愿望的时候，你也得小心，因为虽然你可能祝福你有了这个孩子，但是这个孩子可能也没有办法给你带来完全的这个快乐，可能是痛苦。
But the sage did not tell him the full truth.
但是实际上这个时候呢，这个圣人也没有把全部的大实话讲给 Chitraketu 说。
And later on, the child was born, but then the child died.
那后来呢，这个他真的是求到了这个儿子，孩子出生了，但是后来不幸的是这个孩子被害死了。
So then the sage told him the full truth.
那这个时候呢，这个圣人就把这个整个的来龙去脉，把这个全部的实话呢，就讲给了这个国王听。
So, for example, when you read Prabhupada's books and when you read Prabhupada's purport, you see Prabhupada giving the full truth.
那当你去读Srila Prabhupada的书的时候，看了这个诗节，看了要旨，你要知道的是Srila Prabhupada他说的全部都是真话，是和盘托出的。
So, can people take it? Not everybody can take it.
那所 所有的这个都是真话，那读者是否都能够接受呢？肯定是没有办法都接受。
So oftentimes, how do we tell people the truth?
所以很多时候，我们跟别人说真话的时候，该怎么说呢？
Chanting Hare Krishna, giving prasadam.
那么怎么说这个事实呢？我们就鼓励别人去念诵 Hare Krishna, 去派发 prasadam.
When people chant for a number of time, when people take prasadam for sometimes, then they ask the question, then you give them the truth.
就是一开始不跟他们说那么多，那么但是如果这个人他一直在念诵一些圣名一段时间，然后prasadam 也荣耀一段时间的话，那么慢慢的就得到了这个净化，他的心就准备好了，这个时候他会自然他就会提出一些问题困惑，然后你再把所有的这些哲学的这个真理讲给他听，才能够接受。下一个问题来自于很多的问题。Vara Dashvara, 顶拜 Guru, 我把 prasadam 派给非奉献者，他们挑毛病不好吃，那我还派发吗？ My question is, when I distribute some prasadam to non-devotees, they are not happy with it, and they will be quite critical,saying that it's not very palatable. So does that mean I should continue distribution of prasadam?
Stop what you are doing.
那现在你先停下来。
Stop, don't continue this.
你先不要继续了。
Practice.
你自己好好的练习一下。
Look for the best recipes online. They are available.
你到网上去仔细的看一看，要找到一个最好的配方和食谱，这些信息都是很丰富的。
Become expert at what you are doing.
你一定要把自己在做的事情上做到精到。
Your intention may be good, but the result is different.
你的这个愿望可能是挺好的。但是这个结果可能是事与愿违。
So you have to be able to distribute absolutely first-class prasadam.
所以呢，你一定要学会去派发一流的 prasadam.
Prasadam makes devotees. We have to understand this. Prasadam actually changes people's hearts.
其实 prasadam 呢，它是可以发展奉献者的。prasadam 的确可以改变。一个人的内心。
So don't cook anymore what you're cooking now. Take some lessons, practice at home, come up with the best result, and then get back out and give out your prasadam.
所以呢，现在的话呢，你现在先暂停，停下来，然后你好好的去进修一下，好好的就是找到一些方法，可以去上一些课，然后自己。多练习多尝试，然后要把你所做的这个东西做到最好，然后你再重新回到这个派发普沙丹上面。
Make this your meditation, make this your mission.
你要好好的去冥想这一点，然后把派发普沙丹变成你的冥想，变成你的使命。
If you really feel strongly that this is your calling to give out prasadam, then do it properly.
那如果说派发普沙丹的确是你内心当中的一种非常强烈的这种呼唤，你的这个灵感的这个所在，那么你就要去努力在这个上面上呢，要这个下大功夫。OK, Jamuna Priya Devidasi 跟安帕布对奉献者品质的精湛讲课，我记得有一次圣施拉帕帕在讲课时说，奉献者不应该拥有物质欲望，也没有灵性的雄心壮志，奉献者没有个人愿望。圣恩强调的是不是纯粹奉献者不应该有任何个人自私的动机和愿望，哪怕是一些灵性愿望。有时候我们总是聆听到灵性导师强调说，要对服务有一种贪婪渴求的愿望，那种灵性的贪婪算不算一种灵性上的雄心壮志呢？ Thank you very much for your wonderful explanation on the devotee's qualities. I remember in one of Srila Prabhupada's lectures, he said that as devotees, we shouldn't have any material desire, nor should we have any spiritual ambition. A devotee does not have any personal desire. So my question is, did Srila Prabhupada emphasize that the pure devotees shouldn't have any self-motivation, shouldn't have any motivation or any desire, even it is a spiritual desire. Sometimes we always hear the spiritual master emphasize that we should have the greediness and the thirst for service. So that kind of spiritual greedy can we consider that kind of spiritual greediness as a spiritual ambition?
Yeah, I mean, I don't remember Prabhupada saying a devotee should not have spiritual ambition. A devotee should be very spiritually ambitious.
我倒是没有记得是帕帕在什么地方讲过，奉献者不应当有灵性上面的这种虚荣心壮志。我觉得一个奉献者应当有灵性上的这种抱负的。
I think there is a misunderstanding how to actually understand the meaning of ambition.
这里的关键的这个词哈，英文里叫 ambition， 中文的意思呢，你可以理解成是一种抱负，一种雄心壮志。那么贬义里面呢，就是一种野心勃勃，就是。
Because to be ambitious seems to be contradictory with humility.
因为这样的一种雄心啊，好像是跟那个谦卑好像有一些矛盾。
So, in other words, the ambition of a devotee is just to become a humble servant.
所以换句话说呢，作为一个奉献者，他的这种雄心壮志，他的这个抱负，应当是让自己变得非常的谦卑。
To be the servant of the servant of the servant. That is the ambition of a devotee.
那我们一定要立志成为仆人的仆人的仆人，这是作为奉献者的一份雄心。
And that position is a very high position.
这样的一种境界，一种位置就是非常的高超的。
Because in a material world, everybody wants to be first.
因为在这个物质世界里面，所有的人都想争先。
Because of insecurity.
为什么呢？因为没有一个人有安全感。
And the spiritual platform, everybody wants to be last.
但是呢，在这个灵性的这个世界里面，在灵性的语境里面的话，所有的人都是有谦让的，都是让自己是最后一个，让别人在前面。
Because a devotee is always confident that he is properly situated.
因为呢，一个奉献者呢，他总是很清楚的知道自己。处在一个真正的一个位置上面。
So that greediness is very healthy, but that greediness doesn't mean that we want to be on top of everyone else.
所以呢，这个在灵性当中有这样的一种贪婪也是好的，但是并不是意味着我们呢，就是说要成为奉献者当中的这种顶尖人物。
The devotee should be very enthusiastic.
一个奉献者应当充满着热情。
Which means the devotee feels that it's so important to serve Krishna.
就是一个奉献者他要觉得就是去服务 Krishna 是那么的重要。
So,
yes.
What's the last part of the question?
So that kind of spiritual...Greediness can also be considered as spiritual ambition or not?
Yes, it is spiritual ambition.
你刚才说的灵性的贪婪算不算一种灵性上的雄心壮志？这的确是可以说是一种灵性上的抱负。
But we have to understand, to the eyes of Krishna and to the eye of the Guru, there is no difference between one devotee and another.
但是我们要知道，就是作为 Krishna 和灵性导师的眼光，在他们的这个眼里呢，所有的这个奉献者都是平等的。
Everyone is trying their best to serve.
因为就是一个奉献者跟一个奉献者没有什么区别，因为每一个奉献者都在努力的最好的去做这个服务。
And everybody's got their own ways to serve.
然后每一个人的这个服务方式。也是不一样的。
Sometimes you see someone who is externally looking very enthusiastic.
Okay. 这么两类奉献者，一类奉献者呢，你就觉得他就是时时刻刻都表现出非常大的这种奉献服务的激情，热情高涨啊、然后你就会觉得哦，这个奉献者他在灵性上非常有抱负，有这种雄心，然后可以算是一种灵性上的贪婪。但是另外一个奉献者呢，可能就是默默无闻的，悄悄的在做着一些服务。平常也不怎么声张，你也不容易去注意到他，但是并不意味着这样的一个安静的一个奉献者，他心中没有一种渴望，没有像前面的那个奉献者说的那样一种灵性上的雄心壮志。OK， 下一个问题上还有两个与本课主题不相关的提问。顶拜帕布的莲花族为什么 Angel 比他的地球人 Guru 比他的地球人 Guru Vishvarupa 的等级高？天堂的 Chacha 比地球上的婆罗门地位高吗？道吉，这好像上次问过了似的。Why Lord Angel is me?In terms of his position is not as high as the Guru Vishvarupa on the earth. So the Kshatriyas, the Kshatriyas and the heavenly planets have a higher position than the Brahmanas on the earth. This is the question.
This is the same question as last week.
Maybe. Yeah, I remember a similar question, yes.
Yeah.
Maybe last time the question was not understood.
No. Anyway, when you ask these kind of questions, as I know someone who does the same thing, you have to keep reading all the way to the end of the pastime and everything will fall into place.
就是说呢，就是有好多人都会这样的。当你去问这样的一个问题的时候，其实我要提醒你的就是说，你要继续的阅读下去，就是把整个的都读到了。这样的话，你的一些问题可能在后面呢就会得到答案的。
This actual pastime is not about Indra, is not about Vishwarup, is about Maharaj Chitraketu and Vritasura.Who are the same person?
就是说，就是其实这个逍遥时光呢，关键点不在 Indra， 也不是在这个 Vishvarupa 上边，它的重点是要讲的是Chitraketu 这个王，也就是Vitrasura， 就是 Vitrasura， Chitraketu 和 Vitrasura 是同一个人，就是在不同的声势的。
When you read a pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to concentrate.On the essence of the pastime that brings the conclusive statement of the superiority of pure devotional service.
所以呢，在这个阅读圣典薄伽瓦坛的时候，始终就要找到这个主线。这个圣典薄伽瓦坛的这个精髓是什么呢？就是不管他讲什么样的这个逍遥时光，最终的这个结论永远是不变的，就是说灵性服务的至高无上之处。
So if you read the entire, this covers I think 3 chapters, you read those chapters and you will understand that the whole idea was that Chitraketu became a pure devotee, but he committed an offense, he had to take birth as Vritasura, which came out of the could finally go back to
just think.他说的是圣典薄伽瓦坛里面的那个三章的这个内容呢，主要是讲的是这些 Chitraketu 的这个国，他就是他的一些冒犯，然后为了洗净这个冒犯呢，他后来在这个火中诞生，就是以这个 Vitrasura 的我的这个身份诞生，然后呢 and later he was punished by Indra, right?
Yeah, he begged Indra to kill him.
然后他后来呢，就是说祈求这个 Indra 去杀死他。然后呢，之后他就是把他之前的这个冒犯给中和掉了。
The essence of that story is not the details of the story, but it's how the devotee returns to the spiritual world.
所以在这里的这个关键是在于，就是说，他要讲的这个要点就是奉献者是怎么回到理性世界的。
OK。
顶在，哦，这 the same devotee， 为什么 Angel 比他的地球，这个已经说过了哈，后面一个问题是主 Krishna 不让 Vrindavan 的居民崇拜 Indra， 那 Vaishnava 坐火器时也不念半神人的 mantra 吗？ Lord Krishna didn't allow the Vrindavan residents to worship Lord Indra. King Indra. So does that mean that the Vaishnava devotees, when they do fire sacrifice, they don't chant the mantras of the demigods?
No, we worship only Vishnu in the Japa.
我们在这个 Yagya 火祭的时候只是去崇拜主 Vishnu。
We don't do worship of demigods.
我们不崇拜半神人。
We give the remnants of the Yagya to the demigods.
我们去崇拜这个 Vishnu， 然后把这个 Yagya 这个火祭的这个祭于然后给予那个半神人。OK， 最后一个问题了哈。这是格兰迪，感恩帕布，感恩翻译。有一个奉献者加加里，加里加在泉州找他。这句话好像没有打字打的不太清楚吧？有一个奉献者，全家还特别的团结，老人还跟着他，奉献者还找他。他每天休息时间特别少，出去传教的话还要。带上锅碗瓢盆交响曲，还有一个不到两岁的孩子还要给奉献者做饭，好不容易休息一下，他家的小孩还要找他，晚上老人去厕所还要找他，请问姑这是为什么？有时候我就开玩笑说，你是不是 do you that 呢？ Someone describe the situation of the devotees， everyone relies on her for some service, and the whole family stick together. The older members of the families also follow her. Devotees follow her every day. She has very little time for her own. She has little time for rest. If she goes out for preaching, she have to take all the pots and pots and spoons to help others, and she has a child who is no more than 2 years old. She has to cook for the devotees. And sometimes, if she really get a little time for taking a rest, her child has to ask for something. And in the evening, when the parents needs to go to the toilet.They have to ask for her help. So why it is like that? Sometimes I make a joke that, is it because you are Duryodhan? Duryodhani.
What's Duryodhani?
Meaning that means that, you're just someone who is never...
What's Duryodhan gonna do?
Doing something...Because of previous karma, maybe. Yeah. 是你的 Duryodhani 的意思是不是就是说是不是因为以前做了什么不好的事情，然后受到诅咒了，然后现在就是这样的一种生活状况呢？
Some people have the capacity in their heart to handle all these things.
有一些人他是有这种能力的，就是这些都不在话下。
Some people feel that they have to uplift the whole world.To feel complete.
有些人觉得好像他得拯救全世界，这个提升全世界，这样他才会觉得自己是完满的。
But one thing is, what the community of devotees, whether they approve of this kind of situation or not, and whether the spiritual master is aware of it or not. Can you connect the computer?
What?
Can you connect the computer? We just disconnected.
那这个关键就是说，你要看看你的这个奉献者，还有你周围的奉献者的这个团体，还有你的guru对你的这个情况是怎么样看的？他们认为你的这种情况合适吗 ？Yeah, that's good. So you asked for advice from the devotee community. 请你，你就是说要去看一看你这个周围的这个奉献者，还是孤独去听听他们的意见。
Okay.
Okay. 好。
So we stop now. Thank you very much, Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
啊，非常的感谢 Sumukhi Radha Mataji.
Thank you, Krishna Premi, for your translation.
感谢 Krishna Premi 的翻译。
Thank you for all the great questions that you asked today.
非常的感谢你们的就是今天提出的好问题。
Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Kashadesh Yatra Ki Jai, Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai, Go Premanande Hari Bol.
在昆达之音服务源于聆听亲爱的奉献者们今天的永恒的 Chaitanya 经 Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita 的讲课就到这里结束。我们今天呢主要是讲的是一个时节分析了其中的26项品质是在这个 Madhya Lila 中篇逍遥当中讲到的那我们下一周呢同一时间再继续讲这个Chaitanya Charitamrita 的中篇逍遥 Madhya Lila 的第22章奉爱服务的程序感谢大家的聆听祝大家度过充满 Krishna 知觉的一天 Hare Krishna